I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. We are so glad that you have chosen to worship with us this day, and we want to welcome those of you who are guests. Thank you so much for being here at First Baptist of Roswell. If you would do us one favor, there is a card in the pew rack before you. It's called a Connect card. Fill it out with the information that's requested, and then as the offering plate is passed later in the service, would you put it in the offering plate? We would like to reach out and share with you about the church, the opportunities you may have and questions you may have, and answer those questions. You can do it via email, or you can let us have your cell number or home number, and we would love to call and reach out to you and share with you more about First Baptist of Roswell. You will also find in your bulletin an announcement sheet. There are many things that are happening in our announcement sheet, and there's two I do want to call to your attention. First of all, the church dialogue on denominational relations. That is today from 4 to 5:30, and that will be in the chapel. You can read more about that to find out, and we hope that you will attend. And I also want you to know that child care will be provided. So if you drop your child off, though, you have to go up there. You can't just drop your child off and leave the church. All right? That's not... So please, if you just know that, the church will be providing that. And then also, beyond our walls, registration. We need you to go ahead and get online and register for April the 27th at 8 o'clock. This is a great time in the life of our church to get to know other folks, and I would encourage you to do that. We've had low numbers register at this time, and we know that y'all usually wait to the last minute, but if you sign up late, you might not get the area that you want to serve in. They're going fast, all the good ones. You may end up being the one that has to clean the toilets. So, no, I'm kidding. But please go online and do that if you would, and sign up for Beyond Our Walls. This is a great ministry of our church to go beyond and work in our community here in Roswell.
Well, folks, another year has passed. I know you're sitting on the edge of your seats for the kickoff today, or I should say the tee off, for our Golf for Missions. This is our one and only opportunity to give to the church for your missions. And many of you know that I have a little friend that helps me out. This is he's actually a beaver, but we're using him as a gopher. Because what is it, kids, I ask for? I ask for golfers, not gophers. So with that being said, I want everybody back here to be able to see him. With that being said, it's time for Robert, just like you said, it's time to register. It's time to get on the computer, register yourself for golf or donations. I don't play golf, and you certainly don't want to see me out there, but I will be volunteering. I will be donating, and Lynn and I will be right there front and center for you and for this church. We do wonderful things in our community with Beyond Our Walls, in our state, in our nation, and around the world. We want to keep it up. So the date is June the 3rd, Brookfield Country Club, 8 o'clock check-in, and a 9 o'clock shotgun start. We hope that you'll all be there, so please join me and my little friend at the June the 3rd Golf for Missions. Thank you.
What a good day it is to be together for worship. Looking out at you all during our announcement time and seeing how focused you were, I think I should have brought a puppet with me to help with our call to worship. But we are so glad that you are here this morning. Would you please stand and join me as we read responsively and begin our worship time together in our call to worship. Alleluia, Christ is risen. We have not seen the risen Christ. We have not seen Jesus face to face. We have not touched the wounds from the cross. Christ is risen. Come, worship the King. Rejoice. Alleluia. Let us come.
Jacob oatmeal, and I put it on the spoon, and I tried to put it in his mouth, and he pushed it away because he wanted to do it himself. But of course, he can't feed himself just yet because he is 14 months old, and so oatmeal got everywhere. So you may be wondering why I'm saying that to you, but we all need help. Every day, we need help. Maybe you need help with tying your shoes. Your parents may help you by fixing your breakfast, your lunch, and your dinner. We need help doing things. Maybe you need help getting in and out of the car. Whatever it is, every day we need help. And I'm going to let you in on a secret. Grown-ups, we need help too. Not in the same way, but we can't do everything on our own. God did not create us to be able to do everything on our own, and we all need help sometimes. And the Bible reminds us that we also need help from God. So in the book of Psalms, we read, "My flesh and my heart may fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever." So there are times when we just want to give up. when we feel like we just can't do it anymore and we just want to give up. Maybe it's a sport that you're trying to play, or maybe it's trying to understand your math homework. Whatever it is, maybe you're just really sad about something and you feel like you just want to give up. But God is there with us, and the Bible tells us that God is the strength of our hearts. God will help us keep going when all we want to do is give up and all you have to do is ask. God is always there with you, and God is always ready and willing to help you. All you have to do is ask, and that is great news. Let's pray. Loving God, thank you that you are always there with us. Thank you for helping us keep going when we just want to give up. We love you, Lord. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
We read from Scripture the psalm this morning, Psalm 73. Join me as we read together. Listen as I read. When my heart was grieved and my spirit embittered, I was senseless and ignorant. I was a brute beast before you. Yet I am always with you. You hold me by my right hand. You guide me with your counsel, and afterward you will take me into glory. Whom have I in heaven but you? And earth has nothing I desire besides you. My flesh and my heart may fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Thank you. Church, would you join me as we pray? Holy and loving God, we're reminded of the words of the psalmist this morning, the psalmist who maybe gives us the words to pray when we're not sure what to say ourselves. Great shepherd who supplies our need, might we know your name in which to call upon. In pastures fresh and pastures reshaping and remaking, would you help us find a source of energy, of strength, of restoration, of renewment in the bounties that you provide. Lead us beside the calmness of the living stream. And when our wandering spirit looks for a way home, when we forsake your ways, would you lead us by your mercy right back to you? Would you help us find a path of truth and of grace? God, as we pray to you today, we're ever mindful of the needs of our church, the needs for direction and vision, the reminder that while we are the stewards here on earth, we get our marching orders from you. Help us to remember to dwell in your word and not ours. God, we're mindful of those in our church who are grieving, those who need a comforting care, those who are healing and need healing touch that you as the great physician can only do. God, we need someone to jump around and celebrate with for all the things that we have to be happy and thankful for. God, we just need someone sometimes. That way we know that it's not just us, but that you are near. In the midst of our faith journey, God, help our unbelief. Help the times when we feel uncertain about where our strength comes from. Remind us that over in the pastures, you await us. Give us the faith that you can store in us, not just that is visible to our sight. God, we love you and ask all of this in Christ's name. Amen. I invite you to stand, join me if you're able, find in your bulletin the hymn insert to the song, We Walk by Faith. Let's stand together and offer this to God as we remember.
Thank you. Join me as we pray. Father, we've come to worship. We worship in song, we worship in prayer, in the study of your word, and at this time in the giving of gifts to you. You have given us so exorbitantly, and we thank you for it. Pray your guidance on spending these gifts in Roswell and in the United States and around the world to further your kingdom, bring your love to those that don't know it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
For the last 2 weeks, I've been teaching a Sunday school class, so I've not been able to be in the sanctuary, gripping and grinning and getting caught up with everyone before the worship service. I do hope you have felt welcome today. I've already been reminded that there, and I'm looking for Elwin, that there's a golf game going on this afternoon somewhere, and it's kind of important not to get too filled with the Spirit this morning. It reminds me that for 10 years I was pastor in Augusta, I'm not a golfer either at all, and so my pastor friends have always thought that calling was pearls before swine, but nevertheless, I served there and know that it does kind of capture the hearts and the attention of people around the world. It reminds me of a story. One particular Sunday morning, on the Sunday before Master's Week, we typically have a few extra visitors there in church, and that Sunday was no different. At the early service, I'm shaking hands, and a fella introduces himself to me, and I said, "So, are you from out of town?" He said, "Yes, I am. I live down in Florida right now." And I said, "Well, I guess you're making your way up here to perhaps go to the tournament?" He said, "Yes. So you've got some chances to maybe be on the course this week to visit?" He said, "Absolutely." And he went on about his business, and I went on about mine, shaking the hands of others. My youth minister, it's always the youth minister, but anyway, my youth minister came up to me and said, "Do you know who that was?" And I said, "Yeah, it's a visitor from down in Florida." And he said, "That was Bernhard Langer." Now, if you're not a golfer, that probably means the same thing to you as it does to me. I went, "Okay, Bernhard Langer. Well, he won the Masters. He's playing the Masters this week. What did you say to him?" Like I'm going to offend the church in front of him. And I said, "I welcomed him in the name of the Lord like I do every visitor." So, Bernhard Langer, if you're in here this morning, we welcome you. If you play golf, you are welcomed. If you despise golf, you're welcome. If you come here with the strength of your convictions, you are welcome. And if you came crawling in here because the doubts sometimes get the better of you, you're welcome too. In fact, we are all welcomed in this sacred space. Our gospel reading comes from the gospel according to Luke chapter 24, verse 36. It is a prescribed reading, as they say, from the lectionary. We don't always observe the lectionary, but I found it particularly timely and a good follow-up from our passage last week, which gave a wink and a nod towards Thomas, whom we often call Doubting Thomas. And though Thomas is not featured in this text, we are leaning into the themes of what does it mean to doubt? What does it mean to be skeptical? Hear with me the word of the Lord. While they, that is the disciples, were talking about this, Jesus himself stood among them and said to them, "Peace be with you." And they were startled and terrified and thought that they were seeing a ghost. And he said to them, "Why are you frightened? And why do doubts arise in your hearts? Look at my hands and my feet. See that it is I myself. Touch me and see, for a ghost does not have flesh and bones as you see that I have." And when he had said this, he showed them his hands and his feet. And while in their joy, they were disbelieving and still wondering. And he said to them, "Have you anything here to eat?" And they gave him a piece of broiled fish. And he took it and he ate it in their presence. And then he said to them, "These are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms must be fulfilled." And then he opened their minds to understanding the scriptures, and he said to them, "Thus it is written that the Messiah is to suffer and to rise from the dead on the third day, and that repentance and forgiveness of sins is to be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are my witnesses to these things." May God give his blessing upon the hearing and the proclaiming and understanding of his holy word. Let us pray together. We pause, O Lord, in the busyness of lives and of this week to claim the sacredness of this hour, a place where we can simply be ourselves before you. Now, Lord, continue to speak, open minds and hearts and lives that we may feel and experience and be transformed by your Holy Spirit. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. So, we have Thomas to thank among our disciples to help bridging that gap between our professions of beliefs and strong convictions to sometimes the stirrings of our own doubts, confusions. Even the most accepting among us all have some skepticism, right? I mean, it's okay to question. We question our doctors, and I'm sure physicians just love it when you say, "But Google said," and they are rolling their eyes internally, if not externally. We question. It's just our nature. I think we inordinately vilify Thomas and others for his skepticism, fearing that doubt has no foothold with faith. The truth is, even Thomas speaks for all of us, because Thomas is speaking for the disciples in this very story today. So here we are, two Sundays after Easter, and we sit in the waiting room of our own kind of skepticism, along with the rest of the disciples and their questions. And it is just such a room that Jesus enters in, the room of skepticism, the room of disbelief, the room of doubt, where Jesus enters in and gives us the words we so most need to hear, "Peace be with you." Now, as I mentioned last week, peace simply means let everything be complete with you. Let it be whole. Let it be settled. But we know better. We know in this room of which we read about this morning, things are anything but unsettled. The rumors of Jesus' death have reached into their own lives. Some of the disciples said, "We have seen the Lord." And other disciples have said, "Unless I see with my own eyes and touch with my own hands, I just can't believe the risen Lord." For some was just an illusion, an idle tale. Some accused the women of spreading. Their heads were swimming with questions and doubts and fears about what to believe or not to believe. Peace be with you. Do I ask you, is peace with you? Everything going all right, okay? Is everything in your life settled? You may have shown up this morning to celebrate the risen Lord in our midst, but that skeptical faith followed you inside. I saw it, and it's all right. When questions still be with you when you leave here, and some of you still may not know exactly what it is to believe or not to believe. So let me just say something from the very beginning, which you probably have assumed anyway. It's okay to ask questions. It's funny, isn't it, Jessica? Children don't need that permission. Children ask questions all the time and keeps you on your toes. You are not permitted when a child asks you a question to say, "Ask the preacher on the way out." That's not fair. That child has questions for you, and that's okay. Seeking and searching is part of the faith. It's not an enemy of the faith. And I love the imagery that's what we do here in church, is that we just learn to ask better questions, and we keep asking them, and sometimes we get answers to them, and sometimes we will spend the rest of our lives still searching, still seeking. You know, you think about it, Paul the Apostle, again, we've not read about him in our text here, but we all talk about Paul. Paul is the great theologian for the early church. What we really believe as Christians is largely attributed to Paul's teachings in the New Testament. But Paul was very skeptical of the early church before his conversion, to such an extent that he was a persecutor of the church. His skepticism had bloody consequences, to be sure. And you might think, well, yeah, but he had the blinding light on the road to Damascus, and everything was made right, and his eyes could suddenly see with the depths of faith that few of us can barely understand. But it was Paul who reminded that rascally church of Corinth when he said, "Now we see things imperfectly, as in a poor mirror, but then we shall see everything with perfect clarity. All that I know is partial and incomplete, But then I will know everything completely, just as God knows me. In other words, Paul is giving an allowance. We just don't see everything clearly. Now, that's true in our own esoteric murmurings. It's also true in local churches, right? Oh, I wish we could just have a handbook, a personnel manual, something that will answer all of our many questions. It doesn't exist. I've told this story before, but my last congregation, when I started there as pastor, during the interim, they decided to write a comprehensive policy and procedure manual. I'm not exaggerating. It was 173 pages. 173 pages. I love you lawyers. You don't need any part in a personnel committee manual. Don't do that. Don't do that to anyone. It's that quest of trying to answer everything, and it will never be complete. What we see and what we know is partial. Doubt and skepticism can be a vehicle to growth in our faith. It doesn't have to be a dead-end alley. Rather, let it be that lifelong quest for God. So the disciples are held up in some room. They are afraid, we are told. They are skeptical. They are confused. Jesus shows up in their midst, and he says to them the word they need to hear, peace. And then he goes on to demonstrate this resurrection is real by saying, look at my wounds. Give me something to eat. What do I have to do to prove it to you guys? And they're still skeptical. Do you catch that? They're still struggling. In fact, they're holding in tension joy and doubt. What else does Jesus need to do to convince them to say that, hey, go and proclaim our resurrection? And what takes place is nothing short of ingenious. When in doubt, serve. When in doubt, live. When in doubt, act. When in doubt, do. Now, I know some of you are going to say, well, are you saying fake it till you make it? Well, that may be a little bit too simplistic, but essentially what Jesus says, okay, I've shown up in your midst. You've touched my scars. I've eaten in your presence. Obviously, I am a corporal presence here to you, and yet you're still stirring with disbelief. So go out and love in Jesus' name. Go out and proclaim in Jesus' name. Go out and touch lives in Jesus' name. Go out and forgive in Jesus' name. When in doubt, serve. So thank goodness your faith statement is not required of you for our weekend of serving this community. At least I hope not. Thank goodness that we're generously opening up the doors to say, hey, we just need somebody that can act like they can swing a hammer, or somebody that can act like they can change a diaper, or somebody that can act like they actually care for their neighbor. When in doubt, go and do. Jesus commissioned not the perfect apostles gathered together in his name. Jesus commissioned not the ones who had all of the answers, who had passed the test, who had accumulated the wealth of degrees. Jesus commissioned imperfect people with their doubts, with their skepticism, and said, now go out and do something about this fragile faith of yours. And if Jesus can commission such apostles like those, do you think he's got a commissioning for us that maybe we too can be of use for the kingdom's sake? He speaks of proclaiming repentance and forgiveness of sins. I mentioned that part last week. It's still important. I know that sometimes we think about reconciliation in a global context. Oh, if we could only resolve what's happening in Ukraine, or oh, if we could only resolve what's going on in Israel and in Gaza, and of course the horrendous bombings that were going on last night. Oh, these global concerns that often speak of historic division. And sometimes it's hard for me to think globally because I've not made things right with people that are close by in my life. Reconciliation is personal. And I like how Calvin Miller put it, that the best way to prove that Jesus is still real is not to argue that he once ate solid food. The best argument for you and me today is that he's still touching and redeeming lives. He says, proclaim repentance and forgiveness of sins. Jesus tells us that you are witnesses of these things. Here's the thing, is that we sometimes think that we have to be the Messiah. There's only one person that climbed the tree and died on it for all of humanity. That role has already been filled. He said for you and I to simply give proclamation of what this means, to bear witness. There's a lot to be said for our own need of being consistent, to have integrity. So who we are as a church and who we are as individuals is very important to what that proclamation looked like. And then he reminds us to be clothed in power. Now, in upcoming weeks, we will talk about Pentecost Sunday, what it means to be Pentecostal people, and what it means to remind ourselves we can't do this, as I mentioned last week, on our own steam. I love Fred Craddock's words here. Power disturbs. That's how he phrases it. You know, I did a little quick study in the New Testament this week, and John describes the Holy Spirit as a comforter. Paul describes the Holy Spirit as an equipper. Luke reminds us that the Holy Spirit is a disturber, that we are to be about disrupting in Jesus' name. So when in doubt, serve. Notice how Jesus put this. Touch and see. Now that part I really like. Put your hands on it. Be a part of what's happening in my life, because that's what the world is going to need for you, from you. To be a follower of Jesus is not simply an intellectual exercise. It's a hands-on experience. We hug in Jesus' name. We baptize and break bread in Jesus' name. We dry tears in Jesus' name. We change diapers. We serve food. We hold hands. We hammer nails. We bless others, all in Jesus' name. I told this story for a Wednesday night, but not all of you were there, so I'm going to share it again. But about midway through my seminary experience in Louisville, I did a summer internship as a chaplain for an acute care facility where I had residents that ranged from independent retired to all the way into nursing care, bedridden, and so forth. And because it was an internship, full-time, I had learning goals that were part of that process. We called it supervised ministry experience. So one of my learning goals was, how do you provide spiritual care to persons with memory impairment? Because I was feeling pretty powerless as a student, thinking, they don't even know who I am, let alone that I'm a chaplain, and they don't remember anything I say. When I walk out of the door, they've forgotten I was ever there. So what's the point? That was the question that was disrupting me. So anyway, I worked on that goal all summer long, or that learning goal, and it turned out to be a very fruitful time. This isn't part of the sermon, but I'll go in and tell you, none of that matters. Just showing up is really what matters. That's what ministry really is, just being present. What they know or don't know is actually irrelevant. But anyway, the point of this story is I'm visiting a resident who's deep in a dementia of Alzheimer's type, and she could barely put together a sentence, incoherent. And I was dreading visiting with her because it just feels like a helpless visit, introducing myself and her murmuring a word or two and trying to kind of mumble through a reasonable visitation. And I don't know, you know, as a kind of a last gap, if you will, a last effort, I thought, well, I'll do the Lord's Prayer with her. And so I hold her hand, and this person who couldn't really connect words together, when I held her hand and started reciting the Lord's Prayer, she recited it with me, word for word. I'll tell you something else interesting. About halfway through that prayer, she let out one of the biggest sneezes I've ever experienced, and I felt it from fingertips to earlobe. No kidding. I was horrified. I opened up my eyes mid-prayer, She was still praying, like, what's your problem? That was another lesson I learned, that it was my problem. So I got to deal with my problem. What she needed was a safe touch and to be reminded of the words that have formed her all of her life. That's ministering in Jesus' name. That is serving in spite of one's doubts and confusions and skepticism. That is what it means to bear witness. Touch and see, that's what Jesus says. And so the disciples touch, they see, they believe. It's our invitation too, to then go and to do much the same. Something else I've shared with you before, and I couldn't escape this image as I was preparing for this message, is my own mother-in-law who died 20 years ago from Alzheimer's. She spent too long of a time not remembering anyone, but she always called me her preacher man. And y'all have heard this story, but I want to share it again, because when she was well in thought, whenever I would come home dating Amy, and whenever we were married and visiting, she'd grab me by my cheeks, and I hated it every time. And she'd go, hey, preacher man, y'all have heard this, I know. But the last words we exchanged in this earth was me leaning over her hospital bed saying, hey, mama, you know who this is? And she grabbed me by the cheeks and said, preacher man, touch and see. Yours might be the one thing that can change the life of another. And you don't have to have sophisticated language. You just need to show up. It was good enough for Jesus and the disciples. First Baptist Roswell, we got this. Let's pray together. Lord, we began this worship imperfect, and we're about to leave here with all our imperfections showing. So now we pray that you come and speak, that you come and heal, that you come and transform, and that you come and strengthen us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. How will you respond to the touch of Christ in your life? For some of you, this is a life-changing touch where now you're invited to profess your faith that Christ is Lord and Savior. Maybe, and this is something I've not done here in a while, but I'll be self-serving for obvious reasons. Maybe God is stirring up within you a desire to serve in Jesus' name in a particular way. And I grew up in the old-fashioned sense that we always left the altar open for those that might be called to ministry. And who knows how the Holy Spirit is nudging you. Or maybe you're sitting here thinking, I got people in my lives I need to work on reconciliation. We don't need you to pray about it at the altar here, but you are invited to figure out how I will do something about that in this waiting world. And maybe you're just not sure what to do or believe even after this worship service. Okay, I get it. But go, do, love, forgive, serve in Jesus' name. Christ will straighten all the other stuff out. I'm very confident. Let's stand together and sing together our hymn of response this morning.
Thank you.
me invite you to sit down for a moment. I want to share with you, with the church, as it regards some things that I think is going to directly impact this congregation. Next week, on the 28th, Personnel Committee will be sharing with you some changes that they'll be bringing to the church and conference for conversation about. But in anticipation of that, I think it's kind of important. I wanted to just share some things that's going to impact the church, I believe, for the good. And I wanted you to be aware of that, knowing that there'll be a time to discuss this on the 28th. Many of you may not know, Robert and I go all the way back to seminary days. It was a long, 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 long time ago at Southern Seminary, but we've not changed a bit. But through that time, we both have been discerning evolving callings and what does it mean to serve. For the last 19 years, Robert has served this congregation very faithfully in the area of youth ministry and student ministry. Recently, Robert approached the personnel committee or approached the leadership here, sensing an evolving calling in his life, not taking him from the church, but rather helping him more particularly serve this church with senior adults. And Robert, I've heard you speak, and I've heard others speak about you, about this has kind of given some new vitality and energy and vision for this congregation. As a church, we have a sizable senior adult population. So as the Holy Spirit's been working in your life, it's apparently been also working in the life of this church. Now, the proposal will take place July the 1st, so it's a little while yet, but student ministry is not going to be neglected. Many of y'all have met Josh Rao, who is serving as the youth associate in this congregation. Josh is going to continue in that capacity, and will also be working with our staff, particularly with Logan, as that ministry unfolds. And then Josh has to see me every day at school, so we're always catching up on how things are going at this church. But I simply want to just share with you these things, because I know how church conferences can be. Sometimes no one is there, and sometimes everyone is there. But rather than wait until the 28th, I'm kind of breaking the news with you this morning. And with that said, Robert and I have chatted about this. I want to invite Robert, if you've got a few words to share with us, please. I think there's a microphone there.
I got it. He shared with you some of the things that I was going to share, but at the same time, no, that's okay. I just had written out what was on my heart and wanted to share with the church. First of all, I'd like to express my sincere gratitude to the personnel committee for their unwavering support and encouragement and prayers. Their belief in me has been invaluable. And I'm thankful for their guidance throughout this journey. I've been in youth ministry for 32 years, with 19 years here at First Baptist. I've been blessed, to walk alongside many youth and parents. To my youth and former youth, what a joy it has been to watch you grow in your faith and character. Thank you for your questions, energy, challenges, and selfies, and your laughter. You have taught me so much, as I have hopefully taught you, for that I am forever grateful. I am looking forward to a new chapter as I serve alongside our senior adults, who I love tremendously. I am filled with joy and excitement for the opportunity to serve and learn from and grow spiritually with our senior adults. Thank you, First Baptist of Roswell, for your trust, your blessings, and your support. May we all be guided by faith, love, as we step forward into the exciting chapter, this new chapter in our church. Thank you.
standing up behind you, Robert, so I want you to know that. They're also, and you can remain standing. You can remain standing. They're also standing with you. They're standing with you. And Robert, let me just personally say, as someone who, since graduating seminary, have watched my own calling evolve, but never wavering in the call, it is such a gift. Sometimes a little scary and intimidating, but it's such a gift when we can experience new vitality in life and other expressions and forms of serving. It's all about that. So looking forward to keeping up with how that works. See, that's a good kind of announcement to make about what's happening among our great team of ministers and servants here in this church. Well, you've gathered here and you stand here, and now a golf tournament awaits. Or if that's not your thing, the entire world awaits for you to bring what God has most put in your heart. And now may the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up His countenance and give you His peace. Robert, please join with me in the vestibule. Amen. Amen.